Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Sanhedrin Pehe. We begin two lines off the top. An interesting Shaila posed to Rav Sheshes. We know that a son is not allowed to strike his father, not allowed to wound his father, not allowed to curse his father. Right? So, what about if he serves as a shliach of Beis Din? He's doing the bidding of the Beis Din in applying lashes, malchus, to his father. Or to apply a nidui, a form of cherem, which sort of covers the concept of kalola as well, because a person who violates the nidui or the cherem is in a state of kalala, a state of being cursed. So, are these things permissible for a son to do against his father, who is convicted, you know, by the Beis Din of wrongdoing, which result in these punishments? Bo minei. So they asked the question, made Rav Sheshes, Ben, a son, mau sheyos shliach la'aviv. Can he serve as a shliach of Beis Din to apply these things to his own father, l'hakoyser, l'kalaloi, to strike him, to apply a klal. Amar lei, Amar lehus, Rish Lakish responded, why are we asking regarding a son, v'acher? Suppose he's a perfect stranger. Is one allowed to hit somebody, curse somebody? These things are isurim. I understand by a father it's more severe. It entails, you know, a death penalty, but nevertheless, even Reuben against Shimon, a perfect stranger, I don't want to hit him, I don't want to curse him. V'achar mihi tudu? So how can he serve as a shteach bezin to apply these things to anybody? Ella kavoy shemayim odef. Apparently, there's something called kavoy shemayim, honor of Hashem, overrides any other concern. So if he's carrying out the verdict of the bezin, that's permissible. Achanami here as well. If it's a father, same thing. Kovet Shemayim Adi. So what's the question? Of course it's mutter. Meisve, here comes Akash. A braisa. Starts with a kal v'chaymer. Ma mishe metzuva la'koisei. Initially it sounds like a bit of a riddle, and soon we'll explain what the braisa had in mind. Uma mishe metzuva la'koisei. Even if it's a case where he's metzuva, I mean he has a mitzvah, to hit him, we'll see what this means. Still, in some cases, if he's going to overdo it more than required, you're not allowed to. Right? Even a shliach of Beis Din may not add to the malchus. Of course, mi she'enoi mitzuva la'koisei, somebody who has no right to hit. Einoi din she mitzuva shel la'koisei, of course, he can't overdo it. Now, what does the braisa mean? My love will assume either be idi b'mokay mitzvah. Both parts of the braisa are speaking at a mitzvah, which means to say that the fellow is carrying out the bidding of the Beis Din in punishing this individual. Part one is speaking about a regular person, not a son, not a relative. Part two of the braisa, indicating that he's not allowed to carry out this verdict against his father, speaking about a son to a father. One is a son who can't serve as a shliach of Beis Din. The other part of the braisa is speaking about a stranger. Right? And the braisa means like this. Even a stranger who has a mitzvah to apply malchus, he's not allowed to overdo it. If he adds even one, bang, he gets a lav of Lo Yosef. Of course, a son who should not be getting involved in this to begin with, he should not be serving the role of a shliach Beis Din against his father. Of course, he shouldn't be hitting his father for no good reason. And basically, the braisa is offering us a source based on the kal v'chomer, then a son may not hit his father. We know from yesterday that there is misa involved, but what about a ashara? Everything needs to be warned as well. This is the warning. warning his son from hitting his father. So apparently, according to this approach, the Bryce is forbidding his son, not allowing his son, to serve as a shliach bezin against his father. No, not necessarily. According to Rav Sheshes, who says it's allowed, we will learn the Bryce differently. Idivi idi. Both parts of the Bryce, loishna b'noi, loishna acher, it is applicable to a son or a stranger. Either way, they are certainly permitted to strike in the service of the best. Loikash. So what is the difference between part 1 and part B? Kan, part 1, where it's a mitzvah to hit, but maka mitzvah. Where it is a mitzvah. Kan, the second part, where it's not allowed, shalai b'maka mitzvah, speaking that there's no mitzvah. V'chik Tani, and the Braisa reads like this. Uma b'mukai mitzvah, shemitzvah lahakoyse. Even in a case of a mitzvah, in a mitzvah context, in a mitzvah situation, i.e., he is being a shliach of bezin to apply the malchus, still be careful, don't go overboard, mitzvah shaloi la'akoyse, more than necessary. Shaloi b'maka mitzvah, stam, a person, out of the blue, who's not allowed to hit somebody. She'enoi mitzvah la'akoyse. In addition, of course, isn't that clear through the Kal v'chomer? She'mitzvah shaloi la'akoyse, he has a mitzvah, he has an isser to hit. So whether it's a stranger hitting somebody, whether it's a son to a father, there's an azhar, a warning against striking a person. Okay, but in any case, according to this, if it's within the shlichus of Bezdin, it's mutter, even a son to his father. Toshma, here comes another kash on Rav Sheshes, who says, his son can serve as a shlich of Bezdin. Toshma, hayayte laharek, a fellow who was convicted by the Bezdin on his way out to Misa. Uba b'noi v'ikol v'killoi, comes along his son, he strikes him, he curses him, chayav. The son is chayav Misa, but a stranger does that to this man, Potter, there is no malchus, which is typically applied to a person who does these things, right? The person who hits somebody, let's say it's malchus, right? In this case, he's not going to get the punishment, nor is he going to have to pay restitution. Now, the question is, what's the difference between a son doing it to a father or a stranger doing it to him? V'avinu, the question was asked, Ma'ishno b'noyu, ma'ishno achar? What's the difference? V'avar chizda, b'mesarvin b'ilotze yisvene yoytze. This fellow was convicted. Death penalty was declared here, right? And they're trying to get him out there, and he's not moving. So you have to do this to him. You have to push him around. You have to resort to these steps to get him out. So basically, whoever's doing it is doing it in the service of Bezdin. Try to get him out to the place to kill him. So a stranger is allowed to do that. But a son is not allowed to. Because as we said, a son may not treat his father in this manner, irrespective of the situation. That's a kasha on Rav Sheshes, who says a son may do that if asked by the best. Answer is, Rav Sheshes mukila be'ein mesarvin b'ilotzeis. No, Rav Sheshes will not interpret the brisa to be speaking about this case. That he's being trying to encourage him to go out and cooperate with the Bezdin. No. He's going out on his own. On his own. He's cooperating, and comes along his son, and hits him, and all that, he's chayav. He's chayav because there's no reason for doing it, there's no excuse for what he's doing. Yochi, if that's the case, that the convicted fellow, the father, is cooperating, achir name. So likewise, if a stranger does it to him, he should be chayav. No excuse, there's no reason for him to do it. The answer is achir by a stranger, when he hits him, he's potter because gavru katilahu. The father, after convicted by the Bezdin, and after they had a psak, they issued the verdict that he's going to get the death penalty, we treat him like a person who has been killed. Basically, he has no value. He has no market value. So, when somebody hits him, there's nothing to pay. But that only exempts a stranger. A son has no exemption because it's not a monetary issue by a son. Right? The act of striking a father is terrible. Is chayav misa. So there's no difference. He's chayav misa even in this type of case when the father is on his way out to being killed. Asks the Gemara, why does that exempt a stranger? V'amar Rav Sheshes. Didn't Rav Sheshes tell us, suppose your victim is fast asleep. He has no clue that you're embarrassing him during his sleep. Bishoy Yashin. Reuben embarrassed Shimon while sleeping. And he died from his sleep, right? He never felt the embarrassment, consciously never felt it. Chayev. Reuben has to pay restitution to Shimon's heirs, to Shimon's Yershin. Right? There's no excuse. There's no patur. Just because he was sleeping, he's chayev to pay for damages, for embarrassment, for busha. Okay, so here as well. Even if the victim is a gavra katila, is on his way out to being killed, he has no value. The fact is, he should be paying the kids whatever he did to the father. Says the Gemara. Right, so, you know, the embarrassment and, right, all that, he should be paying him. Maybe the tzar as well. I understand there's no market value. There's no diminishing in value because he's a gavra katila. But the other damages, embarrassment and all that. Hachav Ma'iskinun answers the Gemara b'sheiko ha'kosh she'en bo shava pruta. When Reuben struck this convicted fellow, he did it in a way where he did not diminish his value by a value of a pruta. So it's an insubstantial, insignificant reduction in value. So there's nothing to pay. Okay, so likewise regarding the other types of payments, embarrassments and all that, there's nothing substantial to pay. Asks the Gemara, fine. There's no monetary issue here. There's no chiyuv mamon because it's so little. Of Rabbi Ami quotes Rabbi Yechanan, he ko hakosh eba shav pruta loike. Even if Reuben strikes Shimon in a very minor way, it's less than a pruta, he was still over on a lav, lo yosef, right? We can't add, right? It's primarily speaking about the shliach bezni, you shouldn't be adding to the lashes, but it applies to any yid. It's a lav against hitting a Jew. So why is he potter for Malkus? No, my potter the Ka'amar, potter mi mamon. When we said that he's potter from monetary liabilities, of course, he's chayev Malkus. Okay? So when the Braisa says that a stranger hit a person on his way out to being killed through the bezin, he's potter from payments. But when the Braisa says that a son doing that to his father is chayev, mechlal apparently, the bnoi, when a son does it to his father, the Braisa says he's chayev, so that's the contrast, the flip side. You mean to say chayev b'mamon? He's going to have to pay money? There's no money to pay, it's less than a pruta. Ella b'dinoi. Oh, apparently, what the Braisa said, a son is chayev b'dinoi. He's liable to his respective punishment, which is misa, chanami here as well. In contrast to a stranger doing it, when we say he's potter, let's keep to the same track. It means bedinai. He's potter with respect to his liabilities, which is Malkus. Right? So, clearly we're not speaking about any mamon here, because it's not a pruta. So, when we say a stranger is potter, and a son is chayev, apparently we're speaking about non-monetary liabilities. Malkus, misa. A stranger who does it is potter, a son is chayev. And the question is, what's the difference? What's the difference? If you shouldn't be hitting this person, so anybody should be liable. If it's okay to hit him, everybody should be potter. Oh. Says the Gemara like this. Ela acher, ainu taima de potter, da makro v'nasi v'amchol yisoy. Reason why. If a stranger hits this convicted fellow, he's potter, because it says, don't curse. And we learn the same thing regarding striking and hitting. A person who is ba'amcha, conforming to our religious way of life, to Torah mitzvahs, bo'yisei ma'asei amcha, conducting himself properly. But if this person is convicted by the bezdin of something which is bringing him misa, he is now no longer considered one of ours. He's not amcha. And therefore, if one does this to him, he's pater. And what about the son to the father? We'll see in a minute. Hatenach klola, that excuses him from cursing him, because by klola it says ba'amcha, as opposed to this fellow who does not qualify. Haka menalim, what excuse does he have for hitting him? The makshin and hakala klola, because we have a connection, a correlation. We say just like by klola, the chiv is only on this type of person who's doing ma'asa amcha. The same thing with hitting. Yach, if that's the case. So the son approaches his father, who is now convicted by the bezn of a very serious offense. Why is he getting his einish for striking or cursing his father? I mean, he's not oisa ma'ase amcha. P'noi nami, k'domra Pinchas. Oh, sh'asa tshuv, b'sh'asa tshuv. Achanami, b'sh'asa tshuv. This is what Pinchas says in Mesechta Giga over there. We're speaking of the fellow did teshuva. Oh, in this case as well, what happened was he did teshuva. So instantly he's now restored into our community, and therefore his son has got to be careful. Back to the question. So then the stranger as well shouldn't be cursing him, shouldn't be doing this to him. Amar of Mari, do you know why the Acher is Potter? Pasuk says Va'amcha. V'nasi Va'amcha lo yisor. The Yisur of the Klal against the is only Va'amcha b'mekuyim sheba'amcha. One who is right to live and be around as part of our community, as opposed to a person who's on his way out to being killed by the bezdin, he's not considered mekuyim shebaamcha, and therefore there's no malchus for hurting, for killing him, for cursing him or hitting him. No, okay. Now back to sort of like ping ponging. Yochi b'noi nami. It's the same excuse, justification applies to the son b'noi nami. His father is not mekuyim shebaamcha. He should be potter. He should be chai. He should be potter for what he did. Oh, here comes the interesting distinction. By a son, you cannot apply this reason. Midat ahava la'achar misa. Look, we're going to see in the next sugyo that a son is different than a stranger. By a stranger, after his sort of victim died, right, person died, there's no isra of kalolo. But by a father, even la'achar misa, even after father passes away, a son still may not apply a klal to his father. So the fact that he's being taken out by the bezdin to misa makes no difference. It does not change his status vis-a-vis his son. And Rashi points out the same thing with hitting the father. You see, even though, it's a technical point, although you can't be chayv on hitting a father after death, because that, Rashi says, is just practically not feasible, because there's no concept of wounding somebody after death, right? So it's just a practical inhibition. It's not a halachic limitation. You can't say, well, hitting only applies during lifetime. No, really it applies after death as well, just there's no practical manifestation of it. So therefore, says Rashi, even though he's on his way out to being killed, so halachically he's considered like non-existent, like life has been terminated. Doesn't matter, because the dinim of a son vis-a-vis his father still apply. Because even lachar misa, these halachas would apply. So we finally have a pshat in the brayso which conforms with Rav Sheshes' chiddush. Rav Sheshes was asked regarding his son serving as a shliach bezdin, doing malchus to his father. Is that permissible? He said, yeah, it is, because kavod shemayim is more important. We had many kashas, and we explained the various brises in line with Rav Sheshes' chiddush. Mayave Allah. So now back to the question: can his son really serve in that capacity? Can he be a shliach of bezdin for his against his father? Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna v'chein tana d'Rav Shmuel la'koil ein haben nasa shliach la'avad la'koil se l'klad alay. He disagrees regarding all halachas, all punishments. A son may not serve as a shliach of the bezin to punish a father, to give him malchus, to give him klala in response to anything a father did, except for one, chutz mi meses. If a father is a meses, misleading people to avodah zarah, he loses all status, even regarding his son. Shari Amra Torah, Leisachmoel, Leisachas Olav, no compassion, nothing, nothing, nothing. And therefore, even a son can deal with it in the capacity of a Shliach Pes. Amaka of Avimoy. Oh. Einoi Chayiv Ashiyasib and Chabur, says the Mishnah. Hitting a father, mother is only Chayiv if he affected an injury. So even the like a black on blue mark, which is an ingathering, a displacement of internal displacement of blood, is also called a chabura. Ze chumra b'makalo b'memak. We find one chumra by klala as opposed to make. Shemakalo lachar misa chayev. Oh, like we said before, a klala even after father's passing is chayev. Hamak lachar misa is potter because there's no practical feasibility for being makal lachar misa. There's no concept of wounding lachar misa. Tan rabbanan. So let's look for a pasuk which will teach us that klala applies even lachar misa. Avev v'imoy kileo. So the full pasuk reads like this: Ki ish ish asher yikalel es aviv ves imoy. See, here we have the word aviv near yikalel, and then it says mois yumas aviv imoy kileo damavoy. Here we have imoy near kileo. So again, a person is makal, a father or mother, he gets kileo. Tana Rabbana again, it says of imay kilel, which is sort of a repetition, teaching us lachar misa even after death, klala is punishable by death. Shiachal, because I can speculate otherwise. Hoyel v'chayev b'mak v'chayev b'mekalo. We find that Isan is chayev for hitting and for cursing. Perhaps we can learn one from the other. Ma make enechayv el machayim. Perhaps just like make is only during lifetime. Af ha-makalel enechayv el machayim. Likewise, makalel is only during lifetime. Void, another reason why makalel after death should be potter. Kal v'chayim are based on a kal v'chayim. Ma make. She'asa v'shaloi ba'amcha k'ba'amcha. Because when it comes to be make, physically striking at a father, even a father is shaloi ba'amcha, not one of ours, not conforming to the way of Torah mitzvahs, We don't differentiate. He's treated just like Kibba Amcha, like he is a conformist. Because, in contrast to by Mekalel, where it says the word Ba'amcha, limiting it to only a conformist, when it comes to Maka, there's no such stipulation. And the Brisa here is disagreeing, obviously, with the previous Brisa, that Mekalel and Maka are on the same boat regarding this condition. Here the Brisa is going differently. So, when it comes to makel, there's no differentiation. It's a broader chiyuv. Any father, even if he's not one of ours, and still lo chiyuv boy lachar misa, still there's a limitation that it's not chayv for makel lachar misa. Of course, makalo, cursing, which is in a way lighter, less severe, more limited, shelo yaso boy, shelo yivamcha, does not equate regarding klala, a father who's not one of the amcha, kiva amcha, and treat him like amcha, meaning you're not chayev against a father who's not an observant father. Ein adin, of course. Wouldn't you think shle chiyev boy lachar misa? There's no chiyev of klal lachar misa. That's why we need a pasuk. For these reasons, we need a pasuk. Yes, av v'imay kileil, to include even lachar misa. Well, hanicha, this notion that we have extra pasuk is only l'rav yenison. De miyater lekra av v'imay. He has the extra pasuk to be applied for this. El Rav Yeshe, who already applied this part of the pasuk for something else which was necessary to learn. Michael Amemar, where does he have a source that Mekalel applies lachar misa? The Sani, we have the Braisa coming up. Ish ish. Pasuk begins. Ish ish, who is Mekalel? Why the repetition? Ish ish. Matam lemi ish ish. The Rabbi is Bas, to include a daughter, who's Mekalel. Tumtum, Adregnus, one whose gender signs are not visible, one who has both gender signs. It applies to all of them. Continues the pasuk. Asher yikalel es aviv es imoy. It sounds like he has to curse them both to be chayiv. Only el aviv imoy. Perhaps only both. What about aviv shalay imoy? Imoy shalay aviv. What about one without the other menai? How do we know? Tamalay man. Aviv imoy kilel. That's why we have the repetition at the end of the pasuk. In the beginning of the pasuk, the word aviv is near kilel, to indicate that if it's only father, he chayev. The end of the pasuk, we have imoy next to kilel, to indicate that even if it's only mother that he's cursing. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. So going to Rabbi Yeshua, we need the pasuk to differentiate, to single out, even father alone, even mother alone. So according to him, the pasuk is needed for this. But let's just continue for a minute. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's unnecessary. Because even though the pasuk did mention father and mother, it can mean together or it can mean separately. Mashma shneim ke'echad can mean that he did it together. Umashma echad ve'echad b'fnei atzmei. Likewise, he cursed each one separately, one without the other. Ach yifar tlocha kosav yachtav. Unless the Torah clearly uses the word yachtav, like by Kilayim, where it says, don't plow with a shor chomer yachtav. Without yachtav, even though it's mentioned together, it can mean separately as well. So we don't really need the extra pasuk. So according to him, it's an extra pasuk to tell you the halacha that we were looking for before, that klala applies even l'achar misa. But according to Rabbi Yishya, who used the pasuk for this, we don't have it available. Manole. So how do we know that klala applies even l'achar misa? Nafkalei. We have another pasuk, mi umakalul avav imu meisumas. That's a pasuk in Shmoyz Chaf Aleph. Tell you even lachar misavidach, or to be honest with the pasuk. Hahu meboyle l'raves bas tumtum adreganus, to include even a daughter, a tumtum adreganus in this isra. But typically ish ish. Why can't you just learn it from ish ish? Well, dibra teruk lashem ne'elam. Sometimes the pasuk just phrases itself the way people speak, and sometimes people repeat themselves for emphasis purposes. So it's not really a source of halacha for our purpose, and we have to have another pasuk. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Mekalel is more severe than Maka, since it applies even after death. Listen, why doesn't the Tana go the other way too? Chaymer b'Maka b'Mekalel. I find the Chumra by Maka over Mekalel. How? Shamaka osaboy shalei ba'amcha ba'amcha. Mashenke b'Mekalel. Because I'm conscious to Mekalel, where it's limited to a person who's a ba'amcha, an observant father. By Maka, it applies even shalei ba'amcha. Answers the Gemara. Kasavar makshinan hakol leklola. The Tana, who authored our mission, disagrees with this. He connects hakol to klola, just like by klola. It's only for amcha. Same thing with hakol. So bottom line, we have machlekes. Because by klola, we know it has to be somebody who conforms, somebody who's observant, somebody who adheres to Torah lifestyle. But hakol is a machlekes. Do we connect it to klola? Or does it apply in all situations? Le mahani tanoi, can I tell you? Perhaps these two tanoim are disagreeing. And something that we have another machlekes tanaim about as well, regarding the Kusim. Kusim were an interesting nation, whole story involved in a questionable conversion. Right? There were the lions that came chasing them, and they sort of converted, then they reverted. So the question of whether they're really legitimate gerim. Tanai chada, we have one braisa which says kusiyat mitzuvah al hakaasa. You're not allowed to hit a kusi. Right? And if you do so, you get the malchus, just like any Jewish victim. There's no iser of applying a klala. He's not called oise ma'asei amcha. Another brisa says, well, if you're exempt from klala, same applies to haka'a. You're in the same boat. Can we connect the two things? So Bnei Yeshiva figured, the kuli alma kusim geri emesim. Halachically speaking, kusim are considered true converters, true gerim, true converts. My lab. So what is the machlekes? Balkam infligi. Machlekes is mar sovar makshin and hakol klala. So today we know they don't conform. Fine. They're not observant people. So klala, you're off the hook. What about hakka? So one sheet that says we connect the two, just like by klala doesn't apply to kusim, hakka as well. Mar sovar loy makshin and hakol klala. Other sheet that says we don't connect the two. And although amcha is an exemption for klala, but not for hakka. Loy, says the madkuli amva. Lo makshin and hakol leklala. Perhaps both shittas will not connect hakol to klala. V'acha b'kam miflugim. Machlekes is mar sovar kusim geri emesein. Mar sovar kusim geri emesein. Question is a fundamental status question regarding the kusim. Do you say kusim are really true converts geri emesein? Therefore, you cannot hit them, even though they're not conforming today. But klala is mutter because they're not. The other sheet says, well, they were just scared by the lions. They were scared off by the lions. They were intimidated. They weren't really true converts. So therefore, everything is totally mutter against them. Yach, if that's the case. If they're just like goyim, hainit tani, Allah, how do you explain the next part of that price? V'shoyroi Ki Yisrael, the animal, the ox, the bull of a kusi, is the same like a Yisrael. Right? Which means to say that if he attacked the shor of Yisrael, well, it depends if he's it's his first time, second time around, he only pays 50%, otherwise he has to pay full, right? And clearly, we're treating him like an animal owned by a yid, because otherwise, if he's owned by a guy, a totally different set of halachis apply to that. So clearly, the braisa is going with the shita that Kusma considered gerei emes, true converts, just that they deviated from the Torah way of life, and they're not considered masei amcha. So therefore, klala is mutter. But the question is regarding hakah. So clearly, machlekes is whether we connect, whether we equate hitting to cursing. One shita says we do, and therefore it's mutter. One shita says we don't. So the hetter is only by the klala, not by the hakah. Continues the mishnah. Hagoy nev nefesh misrael, a person that kidnaps a yid. So there is misa. Eino chayva shechnesen lo shusay. Several conditions have to be met to trigger misa. Firstly, the kidnapper has to bring the victim into his own jurisdiction. Rabbi the Omer, ad shechnesen lo shusay, v'yishtamish bo. Firstly, you have to take him into your own jurisdiction, and also make him work for you. Use him. Shenema v'is amar bo y'mochari. Samar means he used them. And only then does he get misa. Agonim is benoy. The father steals, kidnaps his son, his own son. Rabbi Shmuel. Benoy. Sel Rabbi Yechon breaking machayv. He says the father's chayv misa. Hachamim. Poitrim. We'll see in the Gemara exactly why. God of Misha chetzi evit v'chetzi ben chayr. Let's say we have a half slave. So he was owned by two partners. One of them released him. And now he's a half evit, half free man. And somebody comes and kidnaps him. Rabbi the Machayev, he says the kidnapper is Chayev Misa, Hachamim Poitrim. So back to the Mishnah with the Tanakhama says, kidnapping and taking him into your own Rishos triggers Misa. Rabbi the says, Vis Amar Boy, he has to use him. Tanakhama Le Boy Imur. Usage is not a condition according to Tanakhama. The Pasuk says, Vis Amar Boy. Amar of Achbre the Rabba. Sure, even Tanakhama agrees he needs to use him. Needs to put him to work. Imor pachis mishava prutik benai. What if he put him to work in a way we only benefited less than a pruta? The value of his work, of his service, was only worth less than a pruta. Tanakhama says he's chayav. Fact is, he used him even a bit. According to Rabbi Yehuda, has to be worth a pruta. Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, gnavay umechara yashin ma. What if he kidnaps and he sells? The victim, right? That's the halacha here. Right? Kidnapping is not enough. He has to kidnap him, bring him into his rishus, and sell him. Okay, as the pasuk says, ki motze ish goynev nefesh me'echov b'bnei Yisrael v'is amer boy. Like we said, he has to use him u'machari. Okay, followed by selling, by reselling him. So what happens if he kidnapped and sold him while the victim was sleeping, yoshim? Ma, what's the halacha? Another question. Machar Isha Lubra. He kidnapped an Isha, not for her own sake, but she was expecting and he wanted to sell the unborn child to his customer. Mao. Is the Ganav Chayiv Misa? And the question in both cases is like this. Yesh Derech Imur Bekach. In both these cases, when he stole him and he was still sleeping, or he stole the woman for her Uber, is that called Derech Imur? That sort of conventional usage, was it not considered derech of using? Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? He didn't use them at all. He sold them off right away. He never used them. Of course there's no imur. He was sleeping. The unborn child was not yet here to be used. Leitzricha, apparently, was speaking that it did use them somewhat. In the case of the yashin, the sleeping man, the zogale, he leaned on him, so he had some sort of benefit. In the case of the Isha Muberes, the Ukma Bapi Zika. He placed her in front of him to block the wind. And since she's Muberes, so she takes up more mass, her mass is bigger and more protective. So he had Hanoah from the Uber in that manner. And then he sold them. So Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to know, Derech Imur Bekach, is that called usage? Oh yeah, in derech imer b'kach, was it not really considered regular usage, and it's not considered, it's amer, mai, so the question is, does it get misa, take it, we leave it unresolved. Tan rabbanon. Ki yimotze ish goinev nefesh me'echa. Turns out that a person stole a yid. Ein li'el ish goinev. Perhaps only a man who kidnapped. Ish shominai, what if a woman kidnapped? Tamaloy mar, v'goinev ish. If one kidnaps a man, irrespective of who the kidnapper was, could be a man, could be a woman. Okay, ein li'el ish shaganav ben isha ben ish. So we have now discovered that if a man kidnapped, whether the victim is a man or a woman, he's chayef. Likewise, v'isha shagan v'ish, a woman who kidnapped a man, because the pasuk, which covers the woman kidnapper, refers to a victim being the man. Right? It says v'goinev ish. What about a woman who kidnapped a woman? Isha shagan v'isha man. How do we know she's chayef mistam? Leimar umes haganav ahu. This is a repetition. Haganav, to cover any sort of kidnapping, mikol malka, even a woman who kidnapped a woman. Tani, that's why I'm not the brayso. Ki matzi ish goinev nefesh me'echa. Echad ha-goinev sa'ish, echad ha-goinev sa'ish, echad ha-sa'ager, ve'echad eved meshuchar, he stole kidnapped a ger, or eved had been released, ve'katon, or even a katon, chayiv is chayiv mis. What if ganva v'lay mechari, he kidnapped, but he didn't sell them on. Mechari v'adayin yeshim b'reshus, he sold them to a customer, but he still has in his possession the victim. Potter, in these cases, he's not chayiv, he has to steal, he has to use, he has to pass them on to the customer. He kidnapped somebody and he sold them to one of the victim's relatives, father, son, right? He's still chayev. That's called a sale. Haganav savadam potter. He steals a slave, he's potter. But we have a braisa, tani chada. Tani tana kameh Rav Sheshes. One of the chacham presented a braisa to Rav Sheshes. Amar loy. Right? This braisa, which says that if he sold him to the relative, he is chayev. And Rav Sheshes responded, "Amar loy, ani shoyna." I have a different brayser. Rav Shimon Omer, it says that he kidnapped nefesh me'echav. Me'echav means at sheitzienu mirshus echav. Me'echav means he was taken away from his brethren. But if he sold him to a close relative, he's sort of never taken away. Va'at amar chayev. You're telling me he's chayev in that type of case? Rather, it's ni potter, switch it to ptur. Because according to my tradition, according to my Kabbalah, this type of case is potter. Tnei potter. Asks the Gemara, what's the problem? My kusha. Why is it a kasha from Rab Shimon to the previous price? Dilma harab Shimon, harabon, really it's machlekes tanoim. When selling to a relative. Says Mulika Salkadat, you can't say that the braisa, the first braisa, is not going like Rav Shimon. Because that braisa is a braisa elaborating on a pasuk in Dvarim, right? Which is called Sifri. And Sifri was basically authored by Rav Shimon. It was based on Rav Shimon's teaching. So it must conform with must be consistent with Rav Shimon's shita. Don't Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon tells us, Stam Mas Nisen, a typical Mishnah without a name, is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Stam Tesefta is Rabbi Nechemya. Stam Sifra, that's on Chumash Vayikra, Teres Kainem, is Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifrei on Dvarim, Bamidah Dvarim, which is our topic of discussion, that's Rabbi Shimon. The Kula, Liv Rabbi Kiva, and they're all based on Rabbi Kiva's teachings. He was the Rebbe, the Grand Rebbe. So, if we have a Brisa here, Rabbi Shimon says selling him to a relative is Potter. And the previous braisa says chayev. You can't say, well, the previous braisa is not going on Rav Shimon. It's a pasuk. It's explaining a pasuk in Dvarim, which typically is consistent with Rav Shimon's teaching. So you have to switch around the version. Instead of chayev, you say it's potter because of me'echav. He wasn't taken away from his family. He's still in the family, and therefore there's no chayev mis. Okay. So in summary, we have the alachis of the Makkah and the Mekalel. We have an interesting shaila whether a son can serve as a shliach bezin against his father. Sheisha says yes, and the Gemara brings a dissenting view here from Tan de Bishmoel that other than maces, a son may not serve in that capacity. Other than against a father in maces, a son may not strike him or curse him even in the service of the bezin. We find an advantage to Klala over Makkah, because it applies even Lachar Misa. according to some shitas. The din of amcha, right? That klola is only oisei maase amcha, one who is adhering to Torah mitzvahs. The question is by makah, do we compare it to klola or not? And we learned about the halacha of a goyim nefesh miyisrael. Many conditions have to be met to trigger a chiyuv misa of chenek: kidnapping somebody, using him somewhat, and selling him off. According to some shittos, selling him to a stranger as opposed to keeping him in the family. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabba.